Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I've a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, speaking to you from beautiful Pueblo, Colorado, on this fourth day of August, 2009. We're in for a real treat this afternoon, folks, because the one and only Sean Daly is here to discuss the best and worst movies inspired by popular TV shows. As most Blog Talk Radio listeners know, Sean is the very popular host of TV Talk and the man responsible for all those nuts Jericho fans sent to save their favorite TV show a while ago. What many listeners may not know, however, is that Sean has been honored with an Excellence in New Media Award from MediaBoulevard.com, which just shows how much he's respected in this field. Sean will be with us in a few minutes, but first, I want to check with Nikki and Jazz to see if they're ready to help with the show. Hi, Nikki. Are you excited about having your former Nikki Rocks the Politics colleague as a guest today?
Oh, yes. I'm very excited. Anytime I can listen to him makes my day. So I'm very excited. And the chat room is full. And George is here. I just have to give her a very special hello because I missed her so much.
So oh, great. Yes. Right. George hasn't been here for a couple of weeks. So I'm so glad that she joined us, and I knew that you would be happy about Sean being our guest. And I should also ask if all the systems are go in the chat room. You say that it's filling up,
yes.
And it's
yes,
all
ma'am.
Ready for people to sign in and start participating.
That is correct.
Great, and I want to thank you, as usual, Nikki, for taking care of our chatters, and thanks also to the people who have signed up for the chat, as well as to our other listeners for tuning in. And now, let's see how things are going with Jazz. Jazz, I understand you and Ed Morrissey over at Hot Air have already started talking about today's topic. Is that right?
Oh, we have, Betty Jo. We have. It's a topic of high controversy. Let's just put it that way. You've really picked a hot-button debate topic.
Great. That makes things a lot more interesting. And so let's bring on one of our favorite BTR hosts right now. Hi, Sean. Welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters.
Well, hello, Betty Jo. Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm very honored to be on here with you. And, of course, Nikki, my favorite Blog Talk Radio, former Blog Talk Radio co-worker. She's here. And, of course, Jazz. Jazz is great as well. But yeah, Nikki and I go all the way back to the old days.
Mm-hmm. We do. I actually just typed that in the chat room. It feels like old days, and even with Jazz and Betty Jo here. So how exciting.
It's just
how many
one
shows
big
did Sean and I do together? That brings back old times.
Yep, yeah. It does.
It's like one big happy family. So let's get this family reunion started, Jazz. Why don't you start with the first question?
Okay, Sean. I'm going to try not to put too much bias into this, but we've had a ton of movies made based on television shows. Why do you think they keep making them?
You know, I think part of it is a laziness, yes, in Hollywood. I think the creativity is, I don't know, it's blunted by the studios or just or something, but I think just they keep going to that well. And I think the studios want something that they're relatively sure or they're pretty sure will be a hit. So they keep going. Let's go back to look at these series. What series can we pull out of the dumpster, once again to make into a movie? I think that's a lot of it. I mean, they want something that people recognize and, name your series that's been turned into the movie, The Brady Bunch and all that. all those are recognizable names from TV. And for the most part, it's worked.
Do you think there's a free advertising factor there, like you wanting to present a product that has a built-in fan base instead of having to go and market it and sell it from scratch? I mean, is that part of it?
I think so. I think that's what they're doing. They're thinking that they can get the buzz out there with the people will be buzzing. Oh no, they're making a series out of or a movie out of Name Your Series. And oh, who's going to play so and so? Who's going to play this one? Who's going to play that one? Will the story be as good as it was in the series and all that? So it gets people talking. I remember when the Dukes of Hazzard the first movie came out, and everybody was screaming, "Oh, who's playing Uncle Jesse? Who's playing Boss Hogg?" and all that, and it really exploded. And of course, Jessica Simpson was on there; she was wearing her daisies and all that. Daisy Duke. And it got people talking about the show. I mean, and in the movie, is Jessica Simpson going to match up to Catherine Bach? And what's his name, Johnny Knoxville? How's he compared to Tom Wopat and all that? I mean, I think the studios love that.
That's a good example. That's definitely a good example. And I agree that Sean, there's a fan base already in existence, and so what Jazz said about the marketing is easier for films that are based on a popular TV series. And Jazz, you also said there have been a lot of them, and they keep making them. And I'm just going to go down the list. The first day that we thought about this topic for our show, we came up with I know this isn't a complete list, and we've left many of them out, but this is the list that we came up with in about, maybe 15 or 20 minutes. The Fugitive, Charlie's Angels, Sex and the City, Land of the Lost, The Simpsons, Get Smart, Bewitched, Starsky and Hutch, Miami Vice, Beverly Hillbillies, The Brady Bunch, X-Files, Serenity, which I believe was from a TV show called Firefly, The Honeymooners, Star Trek, Barney, The Muppet Movies, Peyton Place, Mission Impossible, Police Squad, The Addams Family, The Dukes of Hazzard, and The Shadow. I mean, that's just, that list, if we thought about it a little bit more, we could certainly add a lot more to it. But I'm not so sure that they're all dogs, so I wanted to ask you, Sean, what would be your picks for the top three best movies based on TV shows, and why would you pick them?
Well, my picks are a little, I think, out of the ordinary. I think the first Flintstones movie was pretty good.
Oh, that's right.
Good.
See, I left that out. Okay.
John Goodman on there playing Fred, which I think was perfect casting. It was during the whole Roseanne, hoopla and all that. So he's perfect as Fred. I forgot who's playing Barney. I think it was Rick Moranis or something like that. And then they had Elizabeth Taylor on there playing Wilma's mother. And if you remember from the cartoon series, she did kind of sort of look like Elizabeth Taylor with the dark hair and the big jewelry and earrings and all that. I thought that was good. The second one, forget about it. But the first one I thought was pretty good that they did with Goodman doing it. And then I think the first Brady Bunch movie they did was with Shelley Long and Gary Cole was, they did a pretty good job. I mean, Gary Cole got his voice to sound almost as just like Robert Reed. And then Shelley Long had the hair in the back of her neck, or whatever that thing was that Florence Henderson used to wear. And they had it all pretty down. That actress who played Alice did the whole, Mr. Brady and all that. It was pretty good a take on the series, I thought. A little, the singing in the grocery store and down the escalator and all, that's kind of hokey, but they're kind of taking shots at that age. The Bradys were stuck in the 60s or the 70s, and they I like the first one of that. Again, I think the first ones are usually the better than this. And then once they go into the second ones, it gets so derivative, it gets kind of ridiculous. But what else? Since we mentioned the Dukes of Hazzard, I thought that one was pretty good because they had Willie Nelson playing Uncle Jesse and had Burt Reynolds playing Boss Hogg. And, I thought that was an okay takeoff. I mean, a lot of people were complaining it ripped apart the legacy of the series, but And then again, we're talking about the Dukes of Hazzard, so it's not like Shakespeare we're talking about there.
Definitely not. Well, so you've got the Flintstones, the first one, the Brady Bunch, the first one, and then Dukes of Hazzard would be your top three. I don't agree with all three of those, but I certainly thought the Brady Bunch was very funny, and so was the Flintstones. How about you, Jazz? Do you have a top three, or do you think that they're just all, you know, thumbs down?
Oh, no, they're not all thumbs down, but I guess if I have to pick some, first of all, I want to protest the fact that when we first brought this topic up, I was not aware we were allowed to pick cartoons and radio shows, because, you know, Flintstones was a cartoon. It wasn't, you know, really a live TV show with live actors, and The Shadow, you know, I only think of that as being on the radio. But good ones, I would like to say that Star Trek has produced a couple of good movies. They weren't all good. They had some dogs, too. But like Wrath of Khan and the very first one of the Star Trek Next Generation movies, I thought those were very good. I have had so many recommendations to me for Serenity, although I have to confess I didn't see the film, from people I trust. They seem to think that that was a very good one also. And I know we have some of my political listeners who have tuned in today, so I'm going to embarrass myself, and I'm going to take just holy H-E double hockey sticks for this forever. But I will say that Sex and the City, the movie, was pretty good because, yes, I will confess, I watched the show. I thought it was a pretty good show, and I thought the movie was good. It was, if you didn't like the series, you weren't going to like the movie. But if you did, it was like a two-hour episode of the show, really, and I thought it was well done, so I would put that on my list as well.
I like your choices, all three of them, Jazz, believe it or not. Serenity, oh, I hadn't watched Firefly, so after I saw Serenity, I went back and watched a couple of the episodes of Firefly, and I enjoyed those, too. I did not like Sex and the City on TV, but I loved the movie, and I think when we were talking about chick flicks, I believe that's one movie that we really talked quite a bit about on our show. So anyone who's interested in detail what we thought about that, you could check the archives. And so those, I think those are very, very good choices. Now,
we have to drag Sean over to the other end, though. You promised me I would get that one.
Well, I know,
you
know, but I get to tell my three. I get to tell my three.
Oh, you do?
Three,
yes, I'm sorry.
Sure,
I thought you said them.
I haven't, but I have to tell you that my favorite of all of the three is a little bit based on being quite biased and maybe even bought because it's George of the Jungle. And Larry and I were lucky enough when we lived in San Diego, we were lucky enough to get invited to the premiere for George of the Jungle that was held at the Wild Animal Park in San Diego. Wasn't that a perfect place to hold the preview for George of the Jungle? Oh, it was just great. And we had, you know, we stood in line with all the other press people, and there, instead of a red carpet, they had a spotted carpet that the stars walked down. And then everybody, of course, was interested mostly in Brendan Fraser. And my gosh, that's the most buffed up I've ever seen Brendan Fraser. He just looked great. He's had so time for every child that came up to him, he would spend time with them. And when I talked with him, I just commented on how much the youngsters were looking forward to seeing George of the Jungle. And then he said, and their parents too, because they remember this character from the 1960s TV cartoon series. And of course, I hadn't seen that series on TV. So my view of George of the Jungle is just as a movie. And the fact that we had such a good time at the Wild Animal Park party. We got feted royally. We followed the director, Sam Wiseman, you know, through the exhibits with the fierce creatures in Wild Animal Park. We went over the Congo Fishing Village Bridge, down the Kilimanjaro Backcountry Trail, and finally into the heart of Africa, and that's where they had a sumptuous buffet and African music playing to put us in the mood for the movie, which was shown in the Bird Show Amphitheater. And you cannot believe how appreciative the audience was of that movie, and I just laughed from beginning to end, especially at my favorite character, the elephant who thinks he's a dog. And I thought that the special effects with that were just so terrific, thanks to Jim Henson's Creature Shop. So George of the Jungle is my number one. My number two, no one else will probably pick, but I thought it really was a special movie. It was The Honeymooners. And it had Cedric the Entertainer and Mike Epps as Cramden and what's the other, what's his sidekick?
I saw it too, and I'm trying to remember.
Norton.
Norton, of course.
Yeah.
And Jackie Gleason and Art Carney. I just loved them.
Right.
So I thought this was going to be a real bomb. But if you forgot about Jackie Gleason and Art Carney and just let the special comic flair of Cedric the Entertainer and Mike Epps take you into their world and all their crazy schemes, you really, really found it to be quite funny. So I think my low expectations for that accounts for my liking it so much. And then I really, really enjoyed Starsky and Hutch, and I wasn't expecting...
Wow.
I wasn't expecting to enjoy Starsky and Hutch, but I thought the rapport between Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson was terrific in that movie, and it had a fairly good plot and kept my interest all through. So those are my three. But I was wondering, Nikki, in the chat, are there some favorite movies, some TV shows being mentioned in the chat by the chatters?
Oh, the chat's going crazy right now.
Okay, so she's probably going crazy right along with them, right? What are you picking up from the chat in terms of movies that they liked, or are there any?
There are. I'm sorry, I was muted and totally talking away.
Okay.
Oh, that's funny.
That's all right. But what movies are they
Honeymooners?
Mentioning?
Honeymooners.
The Honeymooners. Great.
Yes.
So not just
the Addams
me, all
Family.
Right.
Help
the Addams
Yes.
Family.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I love.
Great.
Oh, Atlantis. Atlantis.
Stargate Atlantis, yeah.
Stargate Atlantis,
yeah.
That's it.
Stargate
mm-hmm.
fans, yep.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that was a good one, too. And the Addams Family.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember Angelica Houston, Raul Julia, and that great tango they did.
First X-File
oh, yeah.
movie. Mm-hmm.
That was really, really good. Great suggestions.
They're always so smart. The chat's really
I know.
Awesome.
Well, and they agreed with me about the Honeymooners, if not George
mm-hmm.
of the Jungle. But I'm sticking. That's my story, and I'm sticking with that. So
I wonder what they think of that second X-Files movie. That movie seemed to disappear very fast, at least here in Las Vegas.
It was almost straight to video.
Almost, practically. So I wonder if that's going to kill the franchise for any more movies. One would think so, because the show's been gone for so long, but you never know anymore. I mean, the Alien Nation, I don't remember that movie. Then it was a series, and now it's coming back as a series. So amazing how some of these franchises stay alive miraculously.
Absolutely, and I agree with T-Steele in the chat, by the way. The first X-Files movie,
mm-hmm.
I want to believe, very solid offering. That
mm-hmm.
that was a good film. I wouldn't put it on my top 10 list of all time, but definitely a good film.
The first one was good, but the second one, the most recent one, was not up to the standards, I don't
think.
No,
I saw it on DVD. I did not even see it get in the theater around here, and it wasn't very good. Speaking of not very good, Sean, before we run out of time here, because the time's already flying by as it always does, particularly when we have you here, we've talked about the best. Give us the worst, because, I'm the cynic, and I love having that part of the show. What were the real stinkers of movies?
Well, I think Mission Impossible, I know a lot of people, how you can say that, they're going on to the fourth film, but I don't like the way they treated the legacy of Phelps and them during the first movie. Having him be behind that whole plot to kill the team and all that was just terrible way to treat the major character on the original show. But also Land of the Lost, the recent movie with Will Ferrell, that was a disaster. And I hate to disagree with Betty Jo, I think Starsky and Hutch.
Okay, we're not on the same wavelength there.
I mean, the story was okay, but it was a comedy. I get it was a comedy, but I mean, Starsky and Hutch was an action cop show, and I hate it when they do that to the shows, that they turn from a cop show into a comedy with all the gags and all that. But the one good thing that redeemed that movie to me is when they had the original Starsky and Hutch show up at the end. That was a nice touch, because it's a rarity on these movies out of series that they get somebody from the original cast to show up and have a, you know, really, it made them shine at the end with their little appearance. I thought that was nice. I mean, Brady Bunch, we got Florence Henderson, you know, popping up in the first one, and one movie we did forget was the Lost in Space movie years ago with William Hurt and them. They had the original cast in little cameo roles, so that was nice as well. But again, Land of Lost, I thought was horrible. Starsky and Hutch, just because they turned into a complete farce, and then Mission Impossible because they killed they ruined Phelps' character, and they pretty much ruined the reputation of the series, I think.
I agree with you on Mission Impossible, but we're way up, miles apart on Land of the Lost.
All right.
And
Oh, you like it?
Land of the Lost, I'm telling you. I'm a Will Ferrell fan, and just seeing Will Ferrell makes me laugh. But I learned a lot from Land of the Lost. First of all, when meeting a dinosaur, remember to treat the creature with enormous courtesy. And by all means, avoid saying anything hinting at the small size of the huge reptile's brain, because that dinosaur, and in this movie, the dinosaur was grumpy. He remembers all of these insults that Will Ferrell's character hurls at him.
Right.
And Grumpy was really the best actor in the movie. I will have to admit that. This big dinosaur. You could see him, you know, rage. You could see the rage, and you could see him get angry, and you could see him shake his head. And I just loved that. And then I also liked the scene. I still chuckle when I think of this scene of Will Ferrell as Dr. Marshall. Is it Dr. Ron Marshall? I forget his first name. But anyway, he has to try to find his time machine to take them back home. And it's in a nest of dinosaur eggs that are about ready to open. And so he has to think how he's going to maneuver that area. And what he does is he sings, "I Hope I Get It," that number from Chorus Line, as he tries to retrieve the time machine. And I thought that was very, very funny. And I just felt like what this movie was asking us to do was to take off our thinking caps and put on a dunce cap. And then if you did that, if you were willing to do that, then I think the movie had a lot of laughs in it, and it was a lot of fun to watch. So I did enjoy that, and as I mentioned before, I did enjoy Starsky and Hutch. I liked the chemistry between Owen Wilson and Ben Stiller. But what about you, Jazz? What are your three worst movies?
Oh, God, where do you even start? You asked me that before. I was trying to get something ready. There's just so many competitors. Obviously, we're not going to agree on all of them. I have to say, all the Brady Bunch films, I'll put that in one category. I thought they were terrible. George of the Jungle, I thought was atrocious.
No.
Trying to come up with a third one, I got to give it a tie between Starsky and Hutch and Charlie's Angels. They were
both.
They just made my brain bleed. They were just horrible. You know, and I will say, I did see Land of the Lost, and we were just discussing that in the chat a little while ago. That also made my brain bleed, but I do like Will Ferrell enough that it raises that film, I think, above the other three aforementioned piles of excrement that I discussed. So I will not put Land of the Lost in my bottom three.
Oh, thank you, thank you very, very much. And
I
wish I could. I wish I could talk you into boosting Charlie's Angels, the first one, out of that, because that had some great dancing by Cameron Diaz. Remember,
I loved
one of the Angels.
Show as a kid. I was just such a big fan of Charlie's Angels as a kid. I grew up with that and the Bionic Man and all those other shows, and Charlie's Angels was just fabulous. And the movie came out, and it didn't just make me think, you know, like, oh, I don't like it. It made me want to cry. It just, like, ruined my childhood. It was so bad.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, that stays then in your bottom three. And I guess I'd have to pick the Dukes of Hazzard. I just thought it was yelling and screaming and car chases and nothing funny as far as I was concerned was happening, although I did like Jessica Simpson. That's the first time I had seen her, and I thought that she did an excellent job in the movie. I hated Miami Vice.
Yep.
I was looking forward to it. I really wanted that movie to succeed because I loved the actors, loved the director, but it just left me cold. And I also wanted to love Get Smart, but it didn't work for me. Maybe one or two jokes worked for me, but the rest didn't. So how about you, Nikki? Do you have any of your picks for the worst? Are there any picks for the worst in the
chat?
There's
new ones from the chat, yes. Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Alvin, how
did we forget
Speed Racer.
That one?
I think it's so cute, but okay.
And Speed Racer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, I forgot all about that.
Yeah,
I couldn't even
until I saw it.
I couldn't stand the previews. It was so bad.
I know, right?
And nobody mentioned Rocky and Bullwinkle. I can't believe we forgot that.
That's right. And that movie was terrible, too. It was a big, big disappointment.
That was a stinker.
What about the Scooby-Doo movies?
Oh, yeah.
What's her name? Sarah Michelle Gellar. And who played with Fred? Freddie Prinze dyed his hair blonde for that movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I tried to write reviews of as many things as I can, but I will raise my hand and confess I could not even bring myself to rent that on DVD. So I don't know. It just looked so horrible at a distance, I couldn't touch it.
I feel the same way, Jazz. We're on the very same wavelength about Scooby-Doo, but I do like the Scooby-Doo candy. Does that count?
Oh, I love that, too. Yeah, I love the cartoon. I like Sarah Michelle Gellar, by the way.
Yeah.
I think she's a very talented actress and a very beautiful woman, but, dear. Shoot your agent, Sarah. Shoot your agent.
I know. Well, thanks, Chatters, for reminding us of some of these horrible movies. So, are there any
up? In all fairness, there was a couple of them mentioned that I didn't even realize were made into movies, like Bewitched.
Oh, Bewitched.
That's right.
Yeah, that's another Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it had Will Ferrell in it, so I liked it. So.
And Nicole Kidman, she played
That's right.
Yeah, she played the girl, but it wasn't Samantha, was it? It was somebody else, but she still had the switching nose and all that. It's supposed to be a movie about a movie of Bewitched or something like that. Yeah.
Now, Sean, look into your crystal ball for us. What's coming up in the future? Are there more of these, hopefully not atrocities, movies made from TV shows coming out in the future?
Well,
what should we be looking for?
There's supposed to be a Love Boat movie on the way. I'm not sure about that one.
Good.
And I keep hearing about a Father Knows Best film supposed to be on the way. And then they're saying that that there will be a movie, a CSI movie, with William Peterson coming back to be in the movie. I don't know when that's going to be. They say it won't be after the show's off the air. Somehow it'll be during the off season when the show's still on. So probably sometime in the summer. And they don't say what summer, when they're going to start producing it, but they definitely want to make a movie of CSI.
Wow. And I know my wife will probably drag me to see that because she's a huge CSI fan.
That'll be great, I hope. I mean, I always think they're going to be great. So Love Boat, CSI, and what was the other one?
I just said it, didn't I?
I didn't get it.
Love Boat, CSI.
And Sean, the chat wants to know if Taro will be in the Love Boat movie.
I don't even know if they start casting it. But also, there's supposed to be a Father Knows Best film going to be made of that. So.
Oh, really? Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was a great series, but I don't know what kind of, probably a family movie, and that would have a built-in audience for Father Knows Best. I thought I heard you mention on your wonderful TV talk show something about T.J. Hooker.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. I'm sorry. I'm going through my notes real quick. That's right.
Oh,
T.J. Hooker is supposed to be on the way. Minus Shatner.
Oh, yes. That's right. And we don't know who would play the parts, but...
who could really replace Bill Shatner and T.J. Hooker? I
don't know.
The brain boggles.
Chris Pine. He'll jump from Star Trek to T.J. Hooker.
Probably.
Not if he's smart. Not if he's smart, he won't. But now, what about Dark Shadows? I've heard for a long time that Dark Shadows, the soap, is going to be made into a movie, and that Johnny Depp has agreed to play Barnabas Collins. I think that's great casting, and that would be, I think, a great movie.
That would probably drag me out into the theaters, Betty Jo, because I have to say, over the years, I have been so impressed with Johnny Depp that he can get me out to the theater.
I think that would be a big box office draw, because Dark Shadows still have... Yeah,
what a journey for that. Soap to a TV series, and I remember in the late '80s they brought it back as a nighttime series, and then it comes back as a movie. I mean, what a story of survival for that.
I know that. So those are ones that we can look forward to, and I'm sure that there are many more in the loop. You know what we forgot? So before we leave this topic, we forgot to say anything about The Fugitive, and I really think that should be on an honorable mention, the movie with Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones that was made.
It was okay.
What about that scene? One of the best action scenes I've ever seen in a movie where he escapes. First he's in a car or a bus and then escapes from that, and then the train runs into the bus. And then he has to get out of that. I thought that was a terrific action movie. What do you think about the Fugitive movie, Sean?
Oh, me? I thought it was excellent because I'm from Chicago, and it's filmed in the city of Chicago. So I loved it to see him dive all that water, that sewage pipe into the canal there. Everybody in Chicago knows where that's at. I mean, in the ending scene, they filmed that at either at the Chicago Hilton or at the Palmer House, going through the the back of the house area, the laundry rooms and all that, and up to the penthouse of the Palmer House. I thought that was a beautifully well-shot film. It really showed Chicago in its glory. I mean, those wide, expansive shots of the city going down the river, very well done. I thought it was a good film. And then don't forget they did a did a series with Tim Daly as the fugitive. That lasted about 2 minutes, but the movie was good.
I thought it was too, and it had great production values, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to make sure that we touched on that, and I'm glad that you had some good things to say about The Fugitive. Well, do you know of any current TV shows that you'd like to see that would make good movies, Sean?
Oh, I don't know. They say Lost, but a lot of people are saying Lost, but I think once Lost ends as a series, there's no chance of it coming back as a movie. I think the producers have said that, but...
He stole one of my lines, Betty Jo, because there was just an interview with Matthew Fox on G4TV where he said that they were talking amongst the production crew and there is no hope for a Lost movie.
Well, wow.
No hope?
There
a
is
hope,
hope
or no hope?
There is hope, yes. They've been
there is hope.
So we may have one, and I would love to see that.
I would,
too.
But they need to put Josh Holloway in there for sure. I mean, I want him in there for sure. I don't, all the rest of them are fine, but he's number one as far as I'm concerned. So possibly Lost. Please, Sean, say... Jericho.
that's supposedly still in the works, and that's... They had at the Comic-Con, they rolled out the comic book series, and they're still working on the movie.
So we can look forward to a Jericho movie.
I think these six issues are coming out, the comic books are supposed to be representing the third season of the show, which is supposed to show the new Civil War between the East and the West of the United States instead of the North and the South. The battle line will be the Mississippi River. They say that would be the premise of the movie. So a lot of it depends on if those comic books have a popularity and there's some viral buzz about them. That would trigger the movie. So full steam ahead. October is when the books come out, so people should buy them up, and hopefully they'll bring us a movie.
Yes, I'm going to keep my fingers crossed about that. And what, do you know whether Skeet Ulrich would star in it or not?
Oh, yeah, he would do it. They already said the entire cast would do it. They all agreed to have their likeness put into the comic books, so that's a good sign that they're behind the story. So, good. And the sets are still standing. The outdoor sets are still sitting there in Van Nuys, so that's a good sign. CBS hasn't knocked them down yet, and it's been almost 2 years, so it's a good sign.
Well, that kind of answers the next question, Betty Jo, really, because I was going to ask Sean about, you know, casting. If, you know, do you use all the original cast members? But for current TV shows, wouldn't you want that? Or would you want to see some people taken out and have somebody else cast in some of these roles?
I don't know. I don't think the fans would put up with somebody else playing a certain role or another. I mean, I guess if they're unavailable, if they're doing a movie or, you know, expecting a baby, something like that, they can't, absolutely cannot make it, then maybe a guest cast or even have the character not appear in the movie probably would be better than having somebody else in the role, I think.
Well, I think you're right about that. And I was thinking about Chuck as a possible movie, because you've got such appealing characters in that, plus it has all the action and the, you know, the spy stuff and the gadgets, and that particular cast, I think, on the big screen would
be
something that I would like to see.
Yeah.
What would
you
think
about
that?
You know, one of the ones I'd like to see, Betty Jo, I'd like to see him make a movie out of Big Bang Theory. I think that would be a great comedy.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Well,
it's a great show, and the actors seem very talented, and it's a concept with the geeks and the pretty girl and all that I think you could stretch out, and you could make an hour, you could make a 90-minute, you know, comedy out of that if you had the right writers.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, you can even do it during the run of the series. You can put them on a cruise ship or something, summer cruise, and have the story unfold on the cruise ship.
Absolutely.
Well, I hope some of these producers are listening to this show
so that they get
these ideas from us. Nikki, is there anything from the chat now that you'd like to share with us since we're getting close to the last 5 minutes of the show?
Well, somebody reminded me that Transformers was a TV series made into a movie.
Well, then that's your pick, isn't
and
it?
And exactly. There's no other one except that
cartoon.
One for me.
Well, I'm so glad that the Mad Movie Man isn't on today.
I know. He would be shaking
love that
his
too.
Finger at me.
I would make that one of my
yeah.
honorable mentions.
And then
because
Meerkat is saying 21 Jump Street. He thinks it'd be a good movie. Mm-hmm. And then he was a fan of Carnival. Oh, no, Glass of Wind is a fan of Carnival and Dead Like Me. And 6 Feet Under, so.
6 Feet Under,
those are actually
good suggestion,
Those are great suggestions. Carnival, I was
too.
So upset when that was canceled.
I loved Carnival. That was fantastic.
Carnival, that, what an excellent suggestion. Thank you so much. Did you say that was Meerkat that suggested Carnival?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I had almost forgotten about that.
Oh,
and
we forgot Dead
my...
Like Me. I'm one of the biggest Dead Like Me fans ever, and they made a movie, and it was a really good movie, too. Chatters, yes.
It wasn't bad at all. Well, I'm telling you, we are just getting so many ideas here that it's just so exciting to hear everybody thinking along this line on this topic. But I wanted to ask something personal, Sean, while we have you on the show. And I wanted to know how you got into this TV reporting business, and what's your most memorable interview?
Well, I got into it really when I was doing my local show. I was doing a political show, and I kind of got sick of the politics, and I asked the program director, can I bring on some, you know, actors from TV shows for interviews, because I always had the idea to do a show about TV, kind of like what Art Bell did with Coast to Coast AM about paranormal. And so she said, okay, go ahead, try it. And then so I did the second hour, and I did, was it in 2004, or I believe it was, or five, I did 12 straight weeks of bringing on Battlestar Galactica cast members and crew to talk about the series, the new series on Sci-Fi, and the thing took off like a rocket. But then we got a new program director, and this one she didn't know. Oh, you know, it doesn't make sense doing politics and then talking TV in that second hour. And I said, well, I guess so. And you know, And then she had me switch back to politics. And then the station turned into a Spanish talk radio station. And then I came over here to Blog Talk Radio. And I just basically did some politics. And then I just kind of dove full force into TV. And obviously with the Jericho thing, I really stuck to it with that.
Oh, that was what a coup that was. I want to thank you publicly for saving that series for one year, because that was definitely one of my favorite series. And I want to compliment you on your TV talk show, because that's how I learn about TV. And it runs Monday through Friday, isn't that mm-hmm. correct? Why don't you give the details on that, what time? And
Monday through Friday, it's from 6 until 8 o'clock. It's out of prime time, so on the East Coast ends right when prime time's starting, and same thing on the Central. It's from East Coast, it's 6 till 8, and in the Midwest in Chicago, it's from 5 till 7. Here in the West Coast, we'll have to wait a couple hours for prime time, but I was determined to make sure it's leading into prime time, if I'm suggesting shows for people to watch, why am I talking about during prime time when they're on the air? You know what I mean?
Yes.
It makes sense, but
it does. But you have each day you have a separate area that you talk about. Like on Monday it's
mm-hmm.
Soaps, and
Soaps.
Tuesday is
documentaries
reality.
On TV, and then Wednesday is reality, and then Thursday and Friday we kind of do a week in TV wrap up in that last hour for Thursdays and Fridays so far.
That's really a great format, and I encourage any of our listeners who haven't tuned in to your TV talk show to be sure and do it. And you would say that your most memorable interview was the Battlestar Galactica staff crew?
Yeah, because that really started me on this course. It wasn't for them being so available to me. I mean, Katie Sackhoff, and I proposed to her live on the air and everything else. I mean, we had a blast with them. And again, that was during a local show, but it was, our marriage crumbled because during one interview, she was on so many times, and then I asked her, we were talking about peanut butter, and I asked her, okay, Katie, what's your favorite peanut butter? And she goes, She goes, Jif, Chunky. And I go, Katie, this marriage is not going to last. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to kick you to the curb because I like Peter Pan creamy.
And you were incompatible.
Just crumbled.
That's a great story. That really is.
That's
well,
a deal breaker
I could
right
see.
There, yeah.
Yeah, I could see why that would be memorable for you, Sean. Oh, bummer. I'm sorry to say that our time is almost up. And thanks so much for being such a terrific guest, Sean. It's just been such fun talking with you, and we love having you here. So. Will you please feel free to come back anytime? We'd just love to
Absolutely.
Have you back on.
Absolutely. Great. Betty Jo, you do a classy show. I always say your show is like the Rolls Royce of movie review shows here on Blog Talk, or even for all of radio. You're really a classy show. You love what you're doing, and that's why we all love you.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me, Sean. This is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for all their support in connection with this show. And remember, without Nikki Starr and Jazz Shaw, Movie Attic Headquarters wouldn't happen and wouldn't be the fun show that it is. Thanks also to all our listeners and chatters. We really appreciate your interest and participation. Please come back next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time for another lively discussion about movies. We'll be talking about memorable villains and heroes with special guest Jeffrey Hirschberg, whose new book is called Reflections of the Shadow, Creating Memorable Villains and Heroes for Film and TV. And that book is coming out in September, so we'll get a little preview of it. In the meantime, don't you forget to check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. Now, as usual, here's the talented A.J. Daniels to take us out with a song we dedicate to all our Blog Talk Radio listeners.
much I love you. Then you'd be forced to love me too. If you knew how much I